Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of 1 Timothy, the first chapter, beginning in the 12th verse and continuing through the 17th verse, 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 17. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. I don't know if you're familiar with, most of us are familiar with the Guinness Book of World Records. When I was in elementary school, we had a Book of the Month Club type of thing, and you could bring in your money and you could order books. And I remember ordering the Guinness Book of World Records, and I thought this was amazing. Amazing book, and I turned the corners over it and read all those things that were the most. They were in that book. It was the go-to resource to finding the title for who was the tallest, the fattest, the most prolific, the best, the smallest, the least accomplished, the worst of all. All those records you could find in the Guinness Book of World Records. I remember reading that the tallest man at that time in medical history was Robert Pershing Wadlow, who was measured on the 27th of June in 1940 at 8 foot 11.1 inches. That's a tall guy. And I remember reading that heaviest twins were the McGuire twins, Billy and Benny. They were professional wrestlers at 723 and 745 pounds. That's a lot of wrestling going on. There was Ram Singh Khan's mustache, and it was 14 feet long. Incredible, incredible. Well, I read about the fastest time to crush three watermelons between the thighs is 14.65 seconds, achieved by Olga Lysquisk. You don't want to get next to Olga. The fastest, the most straw stuffed in a person's mouth with your hands off was 400, achieved by Simon Elmore. Held him there for 10 seconds. 400 straws crammed in someone's mouth. And the record for the most wooden toilet seats broken with a head in a minute is 46, achieved by Kevin Shelley in Germany in 2007. Now, there is some record, right? All kinds of things that can be done. You can find the tallest, you can find the heaviest, you can find the best, you can find the worst records. Can you go to the Guinness Book to look up the world's worst sinner? Paul writes and says that he holds that record. Christ Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. I am the world's worst sinner. We are first introduced to Paul in the Bible at the stoning of Stephen, when he is that first Christian martyr's life is taken zealously by those who would deny the name of Christ. And Paul was there, and Paul was a part of the process, and witnessing that event was a turning point for Paul. He saw it as a calling. He began to believe it was his, that God wanted him to stamp out the name of Christ by intimidating and imprisoning Christians, and he took his calling seriously. He went to the high priest, and he had himself appointed to that task. He traveled throughout the kingdom, and he honestly believed that he was doing right by having those who claim the name of Christ imprisoned, tortured, their lives taken, their property seized. And Paul was leading a troop of soldiers to Damascus to arrest more Christians when something took place. Paul accounts that Jesus appeared in a vision of blinding light that dropped him to the ground and a voice from heaven spoke, Paul, or rather Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Can you imagine thinking that you're doing the right thing, suddenly finding you are 180 degrees wrong? Paul was zealous in what he believed was God's calling for his life, and yet he was persecuting the very persons that were claiming the call of Christ in their lives. And for the years after, Paul would say over and again, I was the chief, I was the worst, I am the least of sinners. I am the world's worst sinner. And even 25 years after that experience on the road to Damascus, he would say, I am still the world's worst sinner. It's easy for us to say that we're the world's worst at something, right? I'm the world's worst drawer. I'm the world's worst at patience. I'm the world's worst mechanic. I'm the world's worst athlete. I'm the world's worst, we often say. But can we say I'm the world's worst sinner? Paul put it all out there and said, if there's anything I've got wrong, it's everything. I'm the world's worst sinner. We diminish our sins and compare ourselves to other persons. We say, at least I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. I never got caught saying that or wearing that. At least I'm not as selfish as she is. At least I can't imagine myself ever doing that. We justify who we are. The book of Jeremiah has the call of God saying, my people are skilled in doing evil. They don't even know how to do good. We may not categorize ourselves as the world's worst. Paul does. I'm the world's worst sinner, and Christ Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. The grace of our Lord Jesus was poured out on me abundantly. To his surprise, Paul, who was once called Saul, was dealt with mercifully. He didn't have mercy on those he had led to prison. He didn't have mercy on those whose property was seized. He didn't have mercy on those whose lives were shattered. And yet Paul received God's grace in Jesus Christ abundantly. He received mercy. He was baptized. He was set to serve a total different direction. And the scriptures that we have for greatly influenced by Paul. And Paul, like others in the scriptures, Peter, like Jeremiah, like Moses, they were chosen in spite of their shortcomings rather than because of their strengths. They were chosen in spite of their shortcomings rather than because of their strengths. Isn't it good to know that God uses all kinds of people, even the world's worst? Doesn't that give you pause? Doesn't it give me pause to know that if God can use the world's worst to accomplish great things, then I can be used too? I can't use the excuse that I have no skills or ability. I can't use the excuse that I can't be used because I'm just a total failure. Well, welcome to the club. We're all failures in one way or another, and yet God's grace is greater than our failure. This is a trustworthy saying, Paul says, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. And that means all kinds of sinners. All kinds of sinners. Paul says, God forgave me in Christ because I was ignorant and acted in unbelief. God can forgive the ignorant and those who act in unbelief, and God can even forgive those who do so on purpose, who are willful in what they do. God in Christ Jesus reaches all kinds of sinners. God's grace is extended to all kinds of people. And the mercy of God came to Paul in the form of forgiveness for the terrible acts that he had committed against Christ and the church. And it also came in the form of enlightenment. It opened his eyes and it gave Paul a fresh start and a call to redirect his gifts. Paul was gifted in organizing. He organized people to persecute Christians. And now that skill, not of persecuting Christians, but of organizing people, was put to work. Sometimes we have used our gifts in the wrong direction. The good news is God can use our gifts in the right direction. I was shown mercy, the worst of sinners, that Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. If God can use the worst, isn't that an example for many who were at the hand of Paul's wrath? It must have been quite a picture to see him no longer persecuting but proclaiming good news in Christ. God can do the very best amidst the very worst. And I believe that. I believe that. I entered this pulpit the Sunday after September the 11th, 2001, and I asked, how do you respond to the world's worst? Those of you who remember what happened on 9/11/2001 would remember that we experienced as a people the world's worst. And what do you do in the presence of the world's worst? I read these words from the 27th Psalm 18 years ago. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men attack and advance against me to devour my flesh, and my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident, for in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me, and at his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Words spoken 18 years ago in this pulpit, and I read to you and I challenged you that in the face of the world's worst, we will not live a life that is ruled by fear. We may be afraid, but we will not be ruled by fear. We will take precautions, but we will not be ruled by fear. In the face of the world's worst, we will be resolved, and we will not live a life ruled by anger and hatred. We will not become what we hate. We will be angry, but we will not live a life ruled by anger. We will hurt, but we will not live a life ruled by bitterness. We will not become what we hate. 18 years ago, 18 years have come and they have gone. And there have been new buildings and new programs. Children are born and parents die. We said hellos and we said goodbyes. And I have seen your life lived. And it has been marked not by the world's worst, but by God's best. And how is that possible? That in the presence of the world's worst, something good can arise? How is it possible that in the presence of the world's worse, God can pour out his abundance? Paul believes that in the presence of the world's worst, his actions, the grace of the Lord Jesus was poured out on me abundantly. God's grace was poured out on me abundantly. God's grace, God's gift, not because of anything I accomplished, Paul said, not because of who I am, but because of who God is. Even the world's worst can be confronted. Even the world's worst can be dealt with. Even the world's worst can be overcome. In the presence of the world's worst, we have survived and even thrived. In the presence of the world's worst, we find God's grace. The question in the text is that God deals abundantly with the world's worst. And we often think of the world's worst as what has happened to me, what has happened around me, what has happened in my world. And it is true that the world's worst comes to you and to me in the presence of other things and other people. But the question also is, the text is, what is my part in the world's worst? How have I participated in being the world's worst. Paul points the finger not at others but at himself and says, I am the world's worst sinner. And even there, God's grace abounded. We are called to ask the question, how am I participating in things that are not right? How am I a part of what is not right with the world and right with relationships and right in the corner of the world that I live in? We are asked to point the finger at ourselves from time to time, over and again, to be reminded that sometimes things happen to us and sometimes we happen to others. Sometimes people do the worst to us, and God's grace is abundant there. We are also called to confront the evil that is in us when we have hurt and offended and done wrong. Not so much that we would feel guilty at every turn, not so much to feel as if we've got it all wrong, not so much to point and say, I just can't get it right, but to realize that even at our worst, God's grace is abundant. And if God can deal with the world's worst and the world around me, and if God can use the world's worst in people like Paul, then God's grace can come into your life and mine, and that's the good news. That's the good news. That's the good news. We don't have to live in shame. We don't have to live in anger at what we did. We can overcome what we did to others. We can live through how we have been the world's worst, because there is a gift that God gives. That's what grace is. It's a gift. It's a gift that says, here it is, and you didn't deserve it, and you didn't earn it, but God just loved you so much, the gift is yours. God's grace comes in the worst of places, to the worst of sinners, and the good news is it comes to you and to me too. Whether we have been dealt the world's worst that by what others have done to us, or whether we've been the cause of hurting others around us, God's grace meets us even there. And if God so loves you there, then you are challenged to make a difference. You are challenged to use the gift that you have for good. You are challenged to use the things that you are good at to enhance and to lift. Paul began forming the church. Paul spoke to the church and led churches and shared good news. And they sometimes got it right and they sometimes got it wrong, but they began to lift one another up. And I pray that you would learn how to lift one another up. There are plenty around you who have fallen. And though you may have been the cause, you may also be a part of the solution. Consider how you can enhance a relationship that has gone sour. Consider how you can lift someone that has been neglected. Consider how you can change. Change. It's possible. I could never change. I've got the world's worst temper. Guess what? Don't have to. You can brag about it, or you can change it. You can be content with being the world's worst or something, or you can realize that I don't have to become the world's best at certain things. I don't have to paint like others paint. I don't have to be an athlete like someone else, but I can use the gifts that I have for good. We can confront the world's worst on the basis of the truth that in the face of the world's worst, God has done the very best. Look at your history. Look at where you've come. Look where you stand today. Look how God has used you. Look how God has used others around you. Paul fell to his knees on the road to Damascus and was never the same. He was touched by the grace of God. And I pray too that the gift that God has given in Christ will be ever present to allow you to change for the better, for a world that needs to know the grace that has come abundantly, even to the world's worst. I am the worst of sinners, and yet God's grace has been poured out abundantly. And that's the good news of the gospel for you and for me and for all who are here. Let us pray. God of the ages and Lord of this moment, I give you thanks that you walk in the steps of your people, that you walk in the places they go, that you are present in their worst moments. Glory be to God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, in whom there is life and life forevermore. Amen.